For those who bleed silver and black, tune in weekdays at 2 for Silver and Black Today with Scott Gulbranson here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM, KRLV Las Vegas. Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today, powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. Call them anytime, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what is right. Also, make sure you get on the lines. I know Raider Nation's got a lot to say today. 702-365-9200 is your way to get on the air with us and be the third host, as well as the Sam and Ash text line, 69186. If you're shy, don't want to use your voice instead, want to use your digits, you can do that. And for the first time, the Las Vegas Raiders taste defeat, a less than thrilling 36-20 loss on the road to the New England Patriots. That moves the Silver and Black to 2-1 on the season, coming home to the Big Al, as I like to call it, Allegiant Stadium, to take on the hotter-than-hot Buffalo Bills on Sunday. We assure you, Raider Nation, I just want to make sure that you hear this announcement. Are you ready? It's not the end of the world. Are there concerns about this team, especially on defense? You bet there is. But it's a long slog of a season, and this team was not going undefeated. I'm your host, Scott Gulbranson, and now I bring in my co-host, Q Myers. And Q, I didn't have any expectation the Raiders would win this game, but I know you and many thought they could, and it certainly looked early like they might be able to do it, but that quickly faded.
Yeah, it did. And look, I'll tell you right now, if they were going to play the game tomorrow, I'd pick them to win again. I think they had so many opportunities to put a lot of points on the board and actually run with the Patriots for a while. Now, ultimately, they might have lost the game again, but I don't think that the score, the way it was and the way it shook out, was really who that Raider team is. I mean, they were on Sunday, and that's just all you can say. But at the same time, I think that they still got a lot more left in the tank, and they left a lot out there on the field. So I still feel encouraged from what I'm seeing, even though there are a lot of areas to clean up still.
No, certainly. I agree with that 100%. And we're going to spend the rest of the show going over the loss to the Patriots. We'll welcome Hondo Carpenter of Sports Illustrated's Raiders Maven website. I'm sure he'll keep the nation positive, but also give us his sense for this loss. Then our good buddy Jesse Merrick from News 3, who covers the Raiders extensively. He'll be with us, too, and we'll get his observation. Then in the second hour, it's our exclusive 13 minutes with Hunter Renfro today. Be heard about 3:20. Hunter had some meetings with the Raiders, so we're going to move that just a little bit, usually at 3 o'clock. That's something you'll hear only here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio. Hunter will talk about the game, what he saw on the field, how his team reacted to the loss, and we'll also talk about his very good individual performance. And so don't miss 13 minutes with Hunter Renfro coming up at 3:20. You'll also hear from Q in the 3 o'clock hour with the Q-tip, and most importantly, you will hear from you guys out there on the Raider Nation hotline again, 702-365-9200. What's the take that you have? Sure, I know some of you are going to use this to hammer Derek Carr over the head or to continue the fire Paul Gunther mantra, but let's hear from all sides, all opinions. We want them at 702-365-9200. Don't forget the website silverandblacktoday.com, your news source here in Las Vegas for Raiders football, independent news source, that is. Also, subscribe to this show if you miss it. If you can't hear it, you can always stream it on the Raiders app, the official Raiders app. You can also go to lvsportsnetwork.com, and you can subscribe on your favorite podcast feed and get the show, the interviews, and features that we have as well. So don't forget to do that. Follow Q and I on Twitter. It's yourboyq254. I am at lvgully, G-U-L-L-Y. And, of course, Silver Black, the number 2 day, and Raider Nation Radio, RNR 920 AM. So there you go. Okay, Q. Let's dive into this. And for me, the reasons why the Raiders lost were pretty simple. An inability to keep the ball moving on offense. I mean, you remember only 3 third down conversions and all of those coming in the fourth quarter. The offense had the ball in scoring positions or in Patriot territory, couldn't convert. Or worse, they turned the ball over. Then the Raiders' defensive front, after a really nice start. I mean, I saw a defensive front that really looked different in that first quarter. They had those quick and outs, three and outs for the Patriots during that time as well. I mean, if you think about it, Q, that first defensive stand, when you look at what the Raiders were able to do, because I keep hearing about how the defense was horrible, and I know they gave up 250 yards, right? But if you look at what they were able to do early on, they allowed 6 points on the Patriots' first five drives before it kind of fell apart, and they allowed four straight possessions to go at least 60 yards and combine in 24 points. So Q, you know, look, it's one of those games where you can't get too wrapped in it. I don't think there's too much to look at to say, wow, we have serious problems here, and I don't think there's anything that you take away from it other than, hey, you just got outplayed.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I never got too, you know, low on this game. Watching the game, seeing how it unfolded, I was very encouraged from what I saw from the defense early on. Again, having a few three and outs early on from the Patriots, it allowed the Raiders to go in there and have an opportunity to score and run with them. They just didn't do it, you know, and yep. Something that they've been doing lately really well in the first two games of the season is they've been cashing in the red zone. They went 1-for-4 in the red zone on Sunday. So, I mean, the offense just didn't complement the defense. And the offense has been doing the heavy lifting so far in the regular season. They just didn't do it on Sunday. And so, you know, at some point, this offense and defense, you would ideally hope that they could complement each other and be both playing really good at the same time. That's wasn't the case on Sunday, and so the Raiders took the L.
No, and Q, the other thing here, too, I think people, and I'm not just saying this is Raider Nation, because I think this is a general observation of fans in general. Fans really want to assign blame on one area of the game, but I think this game against the Patriots is the perfect example of how, no, it's a combination of things. We can go through the defense, and we're going to do this. We'll go through the defense. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the offense. What didn't the offense do well? The offense looked pretty good overall, in my view, but just couldn't get it done. They were put into bad positions, long third downs, which don't lead, especially against the Patriots. You're not going to beat the Patriots if every series you're in 3rd-and-7, 3rd-and-8, 3rd-and-9. You're just not going to do it. But I know a lot of the attention today is on the defense. But again, the defense, we saw some, I think, life there, which is good. And then they just were on the field too long. And one of the issues for the Raiders was clearly stopping the run. They gave up 251 yards rushing on the ground. Rex Burkhead had a great, great game. And here's what John Gruden said after the game about issues stopping the run.
You know, when you hand the ball off and there's nobody there, it's a lot more than that. I give Cam credit, give the Patriots credit. We got to take a good look at what happened on those plays. Obviously, we missed some tackles, and we had a couple players out of their gap. And not against the New England Patriots, not against anybody.
There you go. I mean, Q, there was a lot of guys out of their gaps. In fact, John Gruden, who just got finished with a press conference out in Henderson at the headquarters just moments ago, reiterated that, saying, look, we had guys line up in the wrong gaps. And when you're a single gap defense, guess what you can't do?
Can't line up in the wrong gap.
You can't run.
I mean, it's simple. Look, and this is the thing, man. I mean, we've all talked about the defense for weeks now, that it was going to be a work in progress. Mm-hmm. No one thought that they were going to, at least I didn't, you know, you don't just create a monster overnight. It's going to take a while. And, you know, I think you saw signs of it early from the defense, and then at late, they got gassed.
Yeah.
You know, simple as that. They just were out there so long. They were the exact opposite of what the Raiders team was on Monday with the Saints, where they held the ball for 36 minutes. They were on the defense was on the field for 36 minutes. I mean, you just can't do that. And like John Gruden said, especially against the Patriots, they're going to find a way to beat you.
That's right. And on the road against a team and a coaching staff like that, it's not going to work. But again, missed tackles, lining up in the wrong gaps. Malik Collins, we'll get to him a little bit later. One tackle. Mohurst, 6 tackles, 1 QB hit. Clee Farrell, 4 tackles, 1 QB hit. Of course, Max Crosby had the 2 sacks. Those were his only 2 tackles on the day. Corey Littleton and John Gruden actually talked about him in the press conference today as well. Corey Littleton had a pretty good first half, right? But then was nowhere to be found later in the game. And that was a huge deal because by the time the running backs got loose, they were on the safeties, right? And you don't want your safeties taking on running backs. So here's what Gruden said about Littleton yesterday.
Well, I'm not going to write the summary on these players. We can all play better than we did yesterday. We had no preseason. We had very little time to organize our team on defense. We got a lot of new faces. Littleton played very well in the first half. He can play better than he did in the second half, and I know he will. But we are a work in progress, and we have some corrections that need to be made across the board, offense and defense today.
There you go. I mean, Q, these guys are professionals. They make a lot of money to play football, but they are not perfect.
No, not at all. You know, and again, I saw some play from the defense that I was very encouraged about. And then I saw some other play that, you know, was very forgettable. And obviously, once the wheels fell off and the running game of the Patriots really got cooking, well, then, I mean, you're at their mercy. You know, it was almost embarrassing at the end. But at that point, you kind of already knew what the game was going to be because the Raiders' offense wasn't cooking at all.
No, you're right. And with Malik Collins, we heard a lot on that defensive front about the addition of Malik Collins in the camp sessions where we heard that he was going to be a big player, that both John Gruden and Paul Gunther said, look, this guy might be the most important player we have. Well, maybe that has led him to press a little more, and that happens. You know, some guys put too much pressure on themselves, and that gets them out of their game. And Gruden talked about Malik Collins at today's press conference as well that just ended just a little while ago.
You know, he's going to play better. I think he's trying to do too much right now. I think he's trying his best. I really like his effort. We expect a lot more, obviously, and I'm confident we'll get that from him. Our defense played extremely well in the first half. Disappointed in the outcome of the game and particularly some of the big runs that hit us in the second half. But Malik Collins can play better, and he will play better.
Well, there you go. That was Gruden on Malik Collins specifically. He also mentioned that he had a meeting with him today. So
yeah, that's the part of the soundbite that I thought was the most important one was the fact that he said, funny you said that, we just had a talk.
Yep.
I think he told him, like, hey, man, settle down, relax. Yes, I know you got a captain, got that C on your chest, and I know I said that you're the key to the defense, but relax and just go play the ball you know you could play. Because honestly, it looked like he's pressing. It looked like Max Crosby was pressing until Sunday when he played against the Patriots. Then it looked like he was loose a little bit. So I think a lot of these guys need to relax and just go play. And then Jonathan Abram, I'll say about him real quick, good player. He's playing really well, as a matter of fact. What he has to do is not worry about blowing someone up every single play. Sometimes you just got to make a tackle.
Yeah, lots to talk about with Jonathan Abram. And I think in his case, you might want to watch a little bit of the film and then get rid of it and never watch it again. Because for him, though, it was a positioning. A lot of people out there, well, he was hurt. And even I thought, well, at first, maybe. No, but he was having problems with angles and positioning. He was out of position, angles to those. But at the same time, again, the defensive front, when you're letting running backs run loose across the middle of the field, that can happen, especially with a young safety who's not going to be ready for it and doesn't know how to necessarily play it. But Jonathan Abram, look. There's nothing wrong with having a bad game. Everybody, Hall of Famers, you name it, have bad games. This is the type of game where he's got to do that. But you're right. I think that's a key. And Gruden actually mentioned Abram today about those open field tackles.
Yeah, I think, you know, and you rewind it, you say, man, he should make that tackle or the angle wasn't appropriate. I think when he's in the post and he's making open field tackles, I think there's a time and a place for, you know, going for the big hit, and there's another time and a place for just coming to balance and trying to make an open field grass tackle, and that's something that we need work on. We probably need to put him back there in the post more often and ask him to do that, but we can't let these runners get up on our safeties one-on-one. The runners get paid too, as you know.
I love that. Yep. Gruden at the end there. But no,
spot on.
He's spot on. I mean, there's, again, it's not, this isn't rocket science. Anybody who watched the game and then rewatched the game like some of us do, you saw pretty simply what it was. It doesn't mean he's a bad player. It doesn't mean that he's not going to.
No, he's a good player.
Exactly. Exactly.
He's a rookie. It's his fourth game.
Yes. Yes.
Something we talked about all offseason long is the fact that what he would have grown and his growing pains he would have had his rookie year, he's going to have now because he missed all of his rookie years. So he's basically a rookie out there again in his fourth game. Mistakes are going to happen. You got to live with it.
That's right. And to me, though, I will tell you, I saw, like I said, I saw a lot of people sort of making excuses. And there's no excuses. You just sometimes you don't play well. So you just cut it at that and you leave it at that. But it's interesting, Q, how some people make excuses with injuries for some players, but not for others. But that's just fandom, I guess. You know, you kind of you rally behind your guy and the guy you don't like, you end up not accepting excuses. But I think what you heard from John Gruden, what you heard from the rest of the team, too, was not any excuses. And that was really good, because you want the team to come out of a loss like yesterday understanding what they need to do better and what they did. And ultimately what you really want, and here's a cut from Max Crosby on why the team struggled against the run. And this is what you want, in my view, Q. You want players to know as soon as that game's over, they already know what happened.
I think it's just discipline, staying in our gaps, not trying to do too much. You know, it goes for the whole defense. We got to be in our gap and just do our job and make tackles, and we're not doing a good enough job of that right now.
Pretty simple, man.
It is pretty simple. I mean, again, there's a lot to take away from that game. You can sit there and look at it like doom and gloom and be, you know, the most miserable person in the world, or you could say, you know what, the Raiders did some good things and they did some bad things. Hopefully they learn from the bad things they did and improve and continue to do the good things that they did and improve off that as well.
That's right. Well, let's go out and hear what Raider Nation has to say. We're going to take our first call of the day. Colin Diesel, you're on with Scott and Q.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
Hey, you guys make great points. I mean, our defense, you know, they played their hearts out. I mean, the very first half, like Gruden said, I mean, they were playing. Our offense kind of put them in a bad situation. I mean, the very first drive of Carolina, punt. Second drive, punt. We got no points out of that. So they played hard. They're young. They're still learning. And I love their effort. My biggest concern, and this is not bashing, you know, Carr, but my biggest concern is Carr is who we always thought he was. You know, that's a game manager. And I, you know, I kind of drank the Kool-Aid. I kind of, you know, bought into, okay, this is going to be a new Carr. It's going to be a different Carr. You know, just his attitude and how he was speaking to the media and, you know, how he was carrying himself. And I was like, okay, this is the Carr that I want to see. You know, he hears the criticism of, you know, how he's been playing and how he's perceived. So I just kind of knew, okay, well, he's going to go out and be different. What he is a game manager on script quarterback. And what I mean by that is he goes with whatever the play is called. Once that breaks down and he doesn't have an outlet as far as the check down, you see it. He gets kind of iffy in the pocket. He doesn't have any pocket awareness. He doesn't know how to move around in the pocket. I mean, he literally starts looking down at the pass rush, holds the ball too long, and gets sacked. Now, the very first two games, there was, you know, people running open. You know, nobody said anything about that because, you know, we won. You know, we won the game. But if you go back and look, there was people running wide open down the field. He doesn't look downfield. He looks middle end. And if it's not there, he either takes the sack or throws the ball away. Now, it's frustrating because you watch other games and you watch other quarterbacks, and you see that, you know, the things that they do. I mean, there's a lot of grass that Carr can take, you know, to keep plays, you know, alive. And, you know, you don't have to scramble to run for the first down. Just move around in the pocket, extend plays. You know, cornerbacks cannot cover receivers for that long. And please tell me why Waller didn't have more than two catches. I mean, yeah, Belichick can take you away, but there's no way that if Carr can extend the play and move around and let Waller, you know, get open, just trust in him and throw him the ball. You should not let someone take your best player off the field the whole game. So that's just my point is, I mean, we're going to be a playoff team, but to compete with the best teams in the league, we got to be more explosive. We got to throw the ball downfield and make plays downfield. The book is out on Carr. He is a check down Charlie. He doesn't want to move. He doesn't want to scramble. And you look at, you know, New England yesterday. They had 9 men in the box. They weren't afraid of Carr going deep because they knew. So That's just my point. I'm not trying to bash Carr. Love Carr. He has all the time in the world, but he is what I thought he was.
Colin, listen, good call, man. I appreciate you sharing your opinion. It was well thought out. A lot to digest there, but I think that, you know, in a loss like this, like I said earlier, everybody's got responsibility for it, right? You lose as a team. It wasn't one person. It wasn't one defensive unit. But I agree with you. I mean, listen, Darren Waller not getting targeted, they can take the player away, so to speak. They could double him. They can do all the things. But even John Gruden said in the press conference after the game that, no, there were looks for Waller. We just didn't get him the ball.
And yeah, there was.
Go ahead.
But his offensive line didn't help him out that much either.
No.
This was one game that Denzel Good looked like a guard playing tackle. He wasn't that great. And I'm not trying to bash him because he's given his best effort. So, you know, hats off to him for just going out there and putting in work, because the real right tackle is sitting on the sideline. That's another story. But at the same time, you could see that Carr had people in his face all game long.
Yeah, he did. All right, we're going out to Rich in Oakland. Rich in Oakland, you're on with Scott and Q.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, man.
Hey, I agree with the dude I just called right now about Carr. You know, Carr is who he is. He's never going to put the team on his back and lead the team. You know, he's a game manager, and he needs every single thing to go perfect. He needs the perfect time in the pocket. He needs all the receivers to have at least 5 feet of space. He needs no pressure. He needs the weather to be perfect. He needs everything to be perfect in order for him to succeed. It is what it is. You know, he's what we're going to have this year. Let's hope for the best with him. But also with the defense, what's going on that players like Littleton or Collins, that they ball out, even Joyner, they ball out somewhere else in other systems. They come here, and it's like, come on now. Like, they turn – like, Littleton is playing terrible. You know what I mean? And right now, the defense as a whole, I would say fire Paul Gunther. But look, they came out yesterday and they played pretty decent. And then the offense didn't put up the points. You know, we should have been put up 21 points on them, but we didn't. And it's not all the blame on Carr, but there's receivers open. If you watch the film, Renfro was open in the first drive all the way down the field by himself. But Derek doesn't take those shots, you know. But there's a lot of blame to go around. There's also blame to go around on Mike Mayock, because if Reggie McKenzie got the smoke, Mayock is going to get the smoke too. He drafted Farrell at number 4 with all these players around that were on the board with all the talent. Farrell is terrible, man. He's getting blocked by tight ends left and right. He has no bend. He has no speed. You know what I mean? We just got to do better all around. It just sucks, man, because we've been going through this for decades, you know. Defense is terrible year through year through year. We get all these new players, and we still suck. You know, being a Raider fan, being a loyal Raider fan, like, it's tough right now. But I'm not going to panic. We're 2-1.
No, Rich.
Go Raiders.
Rich, great call. I appreciate you sharing your view on that. I disagree a little bit on a couple things. Number one is you're 2-1, okay? So let's remember that. I'm not saying that it was a good game for Raider Nation to watch. Don't get me wrong. A loss is never great to watch. But I will say that I do believe that you can't watch that game and how they lost and then come away thinking that it's 3 years ago. I think they're a much better team than they played yesterday. As Q mentioned in the open, I think they very easily could have won that game. Remember, they had 6 touchdowns and 2 field goals in 8 red zone drives in the first 2 games, right? Really fixing a lot of what they did last year. Then this week they go down, they score on 2 drives, they failed to score on 2 drives inside the 25-yard line that resulted in 2 field goals. So they left a lot of points in the board. So I know it's hard when you lose, but when you see those kind of things, Q, like you said at the beginning, you know, very easily they could have won this game by 10 points.
Easily. Again, like I said, if they were playing again this week and you asked me on Friday, hey, Q, who's going to win it, I'd say the Raiders. I think that they have a puncher's chance with anyone, especially with the offense that they have. But the offense has to be clicking. It's got to stay ahead of the chains. And what I mean by that is it can't be 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 6. It's got to be 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4. That's when they excel. If you go back and see what they did the first 2 games of the year, that's what it was, 3rd and short. On Sunday, it was 3rd and long.
Yeah, and I had this game as a loss on my prediction of them going 9-7, which I stick with. They're going to go 9-7. That's where I really believe they will do. This is the hardest part of their schedule. The next month is a gauntlet. It's going to be very, very tough. All right, we're going to step aside for our first break. I know we got a lot of you on the phones. Please be patient. We'll get there coming up after the break. Uncle Hondo joins us. You want a little positivity? I'm sure he'll give it to us. Hondo Carpenter from Sports Illustrated's Raiders Maven website will be with us. You're listening to Q and Scott here on the Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
All right, we got the top down. We're rolling down the boulevard.
There you go. I respect that.
It's a crisp 89 here in Las Vegas.
I bet you Uncle Hondo listened to some DJ Quick back in the day.
We'll ask him in a second here.
I bet you.
But I will tell you again, Silver and Black today, powered by Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys. We thank them for their support. Salmon Ash will actually be on later in the show. And we have an argument for them. Since they're litigators or lawyers, they can help us with that. But go visit salmonash.com. If you have an injury, accident, any kind of issue there, they can help you out because you deserve what's right. 702-820-1234 is the number. Again, also coming up, 3:20 p.m., brought to you by the Laborers Union 872, will be our 13 minutes with Hunter Renfro segment. We'll hear from Hunter about the game, so you get to hear from a player. We have a couple questions already in, but if you have a question for Hunter, make sure you shoot it out to us. You can do that on Twitter or email us at info@silverandblacktoday.com, and we'll try to get your question on the air with the slot machine. All right, we go out on the newsmaker line for our weekly segment with Uncle Hondo, and that is Hondo Carpenter, of course. He is the publisher of the Sports Illustrated Raiders Maven website, where you can get all your news. And Hondo, you know, this is the kind of loss. Raider Nation's taking it hard, but to me, this is the kind of loss where you say, hey, look, it didn't go your way. It was a tough uphill battle to begin with. So you look at it, you learn from it, and you move forward because you got the Bills coming to town.
Well, anybody that reads Sports Illustrated's Raider Maven knew I predicted back in June, July, August. I did it Friday on Raider Nation Radio in the morning with Clay. I predicted this loss. It was predictable. You're coming off a Monday night, playing the first game on Sunday. You're battered and injured beyond belief. And then you go through and sustain injuries there, and you're going against still the greatest coach of all time. Anybody that didn't see this loss coming was absolutely not looking. Now, having said that, if I would have told you that Trayvon Mullen would have played as bad as he did, that Jonathan Abram would have made the mistakes, that, I mean, where was Littleton? So the way they lost, especially defensively, I think is what people are disheartened with. But the loss in itself in a 16-game season is irrelevant. It doesn't really matter. I still expect this team to win 10 games, to go to the playoffs, and at the end of the day, you just keep moving. That's what the NFL is about. And I'm going to say it right now on your radio station. They're going to whoop Buffalo on Sunday.
Wow.
There. All right. Fair enough. Now, Hondo, you mentioned about some of the injuries that they were suffering and they were struggling with coming into the game. Trent Brown, that's a big concern. He's only played 3 snaps all season long. As far as you're concerned, what do you think? When do you think they might see a return of Trent Brown?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. The biggest ability is availability. And the amount of money that they've paid him, I'm not in any way questioning his character or his toughness. Don't hear that. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how good you are if you're not out on the field playing. So there should absolutely be concern. I said on your show what we were hearing from people before the season when you asked me, Pritch, is he going to play? I said, I'm hearing from people from near him around Florida that, you know, the question is, do we try to play him early? What if he gets injured again and you lose him for a longer period of time? They rolled the dice, they played him, that happened, and they've lost him. To me, if as much money as you put into Trent Brown, this is what you have to decide. You simply don't play him until he's 100%. And then when he gets 100%, if he sustains another injury, then you have to look at what's the cost of moving on. But I think you've invested that money because he is a great player when he's available. So you let him get healthy and then play him. But if it continues to be a situation, it doesn't matter if you have the talent of Barry Sanders or Trent Brown. If you can't get on the field, you simply are a wasted spot on the roster. And that's not slamming him. I don't think toughness is an issue. I'm not 100% sure. I am 100% sure it's not character. But at the end of the day, it's just you got to play. And if you don't, you move on. It's why it's called the NFL. It stands for not for long.
Hondo Carpenter from SI's Raider Maven website is with us. You can follow him at Hondo Carpenter. And Hondo, we talk about that defensive line on the other side of the ball there. Malik Collins, you heard John Gruden just a little while ago talk about the fact that he had a meeting with Malik Collins today, and that he feels Malik Collins is pressing too much. And we talked in the offseason, too, a lot about the addition of Rod Marinelli coaching that line and the culture change and how he just pushes those guys hard. Do you think it's a matter of these guys still a little bit in culture shock?
Well, yes. I think it's that's a very fair point, Scott. But at the end of the day, guys are getting paid now. And they've got to step up. They've got to make plays. And, I mean, here's one thing. If you get out-schemed, you can blame coaches. But when you see players in the very right position not making tackles, that's on players. You know, I had a great conversation with Bobby Bowden, the legendary Florida State coach, one time, and he said something I'll never forget. He said, you know, when I'm watching a game film and my kids aren't in the right scheme or our offense doesn't have the right play called, he goes, I'm calling coaches in my office and I'm ripping on some coaches. He said, so when I watch guys wrap up and get walked through, and I watch guys in the right spot not able to make a play, he goes, I'm questioning them as players. And I think there's some guys today on that Raider defense that need to do a gut check. There's some guys that need to go in there. And there's some guys that probably should go into Mark Davis and say, I'm not taking a paycheck this week. Now, we know it's not going to happen, but they're guys that just didn't make plays. And at the, again, when I watched that game over and over and over, I saw guys in right places. I saw Gunther calling right plays, but it's not Gunther's fault if Trayvon Mullen lets guys get to the outside of him. As a corner, you can't do that. You learn that in peewee football. You push everyone to the inside where you have help. It's just the way the game is played. So that's not on Gunther. You have the guy in the right spot. He just loses leverage. You can't do anything more than have a defensive tackle in a place where he's got two arms wrapped around a guy and Rex Burkhead runs through you. Now listen, Rex is a really good player. I watched him in college, and he's a good guy. But he shouldn't be going through guys that have two arms wrapped around him. This is gut check time. This is not a loss, in my opinion. It's on the coaches. They were in this game in the fourth quarter. This is where the players, especially on that defense, come together, get in a room, and they call each other out. This is where you're going to see leaders step up. This is why I said before the season, I thought this was a 10-win team. They have to grow up. And I'm going to tell you, this right now, what they're looking for, they've got good coaches. They need leaders. Who's going to step up and be that guy? Who's going to be the guy that calls people out? And to me, that's going to be the fascinating thing of the week. I believe we'll hear it by the time the week goes on. I think you're going to see it. But this is where young teams grow up. And I love this team. I like this team a lot. I like the character of its players. I think they come back to the Death Star on Sunday, and I think they put a physical whooping on the Bills. I'm not saying they beat them by three touchdowns, but I think they're going to whoop the Bills and make a response and stand up and grow up. And this is what young teams have to do. It's not time now to jump off the ship, but it is time now to question guys, and it's time for some guys to step up.
You mentioned Trayvon Mullen a couple times, and I was going to ask you about him because he had some passes defense, so I thought he did really well in that area.
Yes.
But what are your thoughts on Damon Arnette? He's out there. He's battling through injury, but he just seems feisty and tough.
I love Arnette. And let me just say something. I thought Mullen, when you watch him in pass defense, he was good, but in running, in the rushing defense, he was horrible.
Yeah.
But Damon Arnette, here's what I love about Arnette. Short memory. Kid is just the epitome of toughness. He's a guy that I mean, if you checked him, I bet there's Lyle Alzado and Hendricks DNA in him. And I love that kid. He's a rookie. You know, Roy Rogers, the great cowboy, used to say, and forgive me because I'm a horse fanatic. I've had horses my whole life. But the best thing for a young horse is a wet saddle blanket, meaning just getting some reps. I don't have any expectations of rookies. Rookies are going to play like it. And so when Arnette makes a mistake, I don't care. You just keep going. But with Trayvon Mullen now, he's not a rookie anymore. So you're looking for guys to make that next step. But again, the thing I love about Arnett, he just never stopped fighting. Now, I want to make one point clear because I have called out some defensive guys, and I believe rightfully. But I do want to make one point clear that I don't think people are taking into account. And this is why people are fanatics, and that's where we get the term fans. You didn't see one Raider quit on Sunday. You saw guys, just like with Derek Carr's fumble in the end zone, just fighting to get out of the end zone at that point. You saw guys that didn't quit. This isn't the Raiders of old. They kept fighting. That's, to me, the encouragement. When that game turned in the fourth quarter, I specifically wanted to see, do you see guys quitting? Do you see guys giving up? I mean, Littleton did not have a great game. I think he would tell you that, but you didn't see him quit. You saw no give up. You saw heart. You saw fight. This is why this team will respond and beat Buffalo.
Yeah, and Hondo, thanks, man. I agree with that. I think that you did not see quit. And actually, to the credit of the fans out there, too, and my sample size of just watching during the game, they recognize that, too. All right, that's Hondo Carpenter from SI's Raider Maven website. Hondo's with us every Monday. Hondo, have a great week, my friend. I'm sure you'll see you out at practice, and then if not, I'll see you at the game on Sunday.
Thank you, gentlemen, as always. I appreciate it. It's an honor to be on your show.
All right, there you go. Hondo Carpenter bringing it as usual, Q.
Yeah, he brings up a lot of good points. And, you know, I agree with there was no quit in the team, which is the most important part of the whole everything. You know, yeah. You just, if you got guys that are quitting on the team, then you got a problem. You know, so, again, I saw a lot of positive early on. I just also saw a defense that really wore out later on, and they just couldn't do anything.
Completely guessed. We're going to get one call in here or two calls in before the break. 502 Raider D. 502 Raider D. You're on with Scott and Q. How you feeling on this Monday?
Hey, I'm sorry you heard it, but I mean, you know.
Raider 502 D, you're on with Scott and Q.
What's up, dude?
Scott and Q, what's going on, gentlemen? How you doing today?
Good, buddy. More importantly, how you doing?
I've been better, man, but let me tell you something. I had to get on here today. I called early today. Let me tell all these, you know, so-called Raiders fans, pump your brakes. Stop being haters on Derek Carr. I guarantee you the Dolphins, I guarantee you the Browns, I guarantee you I can name 10 other teams that would take Derek in a heartbeat from what they got. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he makes some mistakes, but everybody makes mistakes, man. You know, and you think about this, all the injuries that we have, you know, Ruggs, all the injuries that we have right now, guys that could have helped us on offense. Then we have also, I forget what the new guy's name is, that got hurt, Brian Edwards, got hurt during the game. Yeah, a couple guys were open. Man, you got to understand something. Like, this is a chess match. You know, that's what football is. It's not checkers, it's chess. You know, we weren't prepared to do the things we needed to do. We did not have our complete team with us, with wide receivers and Ruggs, and, you know, possibly taking the top off of it. That's why, if you notice, that they played down in the box with 8-9 men constantly.
Yeah.
They knew that they would take away who was one of our best players at the tight end position in Waller. I mean, guys, listen, we lost to a very well coached team. Yes. We lost the game, but I promise you, Derek has a lot of deficiencies as far as Derek's not a true runner. You should always try to, if you have a deficiency, work on it. But sometimes you have some players that just it's not natural to them. It's hard for them to do it.
Yeah.
You know, but we all need to grow as a team in every spot. And the defense is horrible. The defensive line has just been absolutely horrible all year long. But this is the third game, man. I'm gonna save all my, you know, angst and anger about the defensive line as we get to this next quarter of the four quarters of the season.
Yes.
Because Rod Marinelli's we got rid of Buckner for Marinelli, and we have not had the results that we want to have. But I guarantee you that he's going to have them playing better than they have been, man. And I just hope for the future, I'm not going to be down on Carr or anybody else. I'm just going to let you guys know it's Raider Nation for life, no matter what happens. I'm going to have my, you know, I'm going to have my anger and about it, man, but I'm going to look at it from a football standpoint that I believe we're going to get better. And that's all I got to say, brother.
Hey, great, great call, man. We appreciate that. That's how you should look at it. I mean, again, the Raiders are 2-1. That game against New Orleans, that win against New Orleans was huge. Trust me. We're going to step aside, take a break. We'll get your calls. Also, Jesse Merrick from News 3 Las Vegas will be with us. We'll get his reaction to the loss yesterday. You're listening to the Silver and Black Today, powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys, here only on Raider Nation Radio 920.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
You're back here on the Silver and Black Today on this Monday. Not a victory Monday, unfortunately. Raiders lose 36-22 to the Patriots in Foxborough. And coming up next in just a minute is our good friend Jesse Merrick from News 3. First, we're going out to Ron in New Orleans. Steven, I'm sorry. I called him Ron. Steven, New Orleans, man.
We were close.
We had you
hey,
last
guys.
What's going on, brother?
I spoke to y'all on Friday, and
yes.
Just a quick point about Hondo's segment. If Jimmy Buckets can get $20 for a cup of coffee in the bubble, what could he get for whatever Hondo's drinking? Man, that guy brings some energy. I don't know. I don't have the roster in front of me. We're starting like 7 of 11 new defensive starters or 6 of 11.
Yep.
It's going to take some time, I think. I mean, I saw some shines of brightness in that game, and yeah, we wore down and they ran us over. You know, that's going to happen sometimes with a young team and on the road. And in terms of Derek and this guy saying he needs 5 yards of separation, did he not see the dime he hit to Hunter right at the end of the first half going 80 yards in about 30 seconds? Derek has a right to feel like he's disrespected because he truly is. I'm not saying he's perfect, but we have every year one of the worst defenses in NFL, and we expect Derek to somehow bring us to the Super Bowl every year. Pump the brakes so we get a better defense and make Derek look greater. Just like, you don't think Aaron Donald doesn't make Corey Littleton look great? We said at the beginning of the year, this young secondary and these young linebackers, we're going to need the defensive line's help. We don't have it yet. We're getting there. Calm down, Raider Nation. We're still going to the playoffs.
There you go. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. And you know what, too? I have to add in there, the Raiders are without one of their major pieces on defense, too. Nick Kwiatkowski's been out. So yep. That's an important piece in that middle. I mean, he's the guy. He's the green dot in the middle of the defense, and he's not been there. Now, Nicholas Morrow deserves a shout-out because that kid's been playing out of his head for what his role is. He's done really, really well. He should be proud.
He stepped up.
Yeah, he did.
He was called upon, and he stepped up. He did a good job.
And that's the kind of guy, I mean, that kind of depth, you step in for a few weeks for a guy who's injured, and you play your best that you possibly can, and that's what he's done there. All right, we're going out now on the Newsmaker line, bringing in Jesse Merrick from News 3. And, Jesse, yesterday, you know, one of those games, man, the elation from the big Monday night win against the Saints here in Las Vegas, first time in Allegiant Stadium, you know, everything involved with the move and the love and all that stuff. That wasn't going to win you a game on the road against arguably the best coach to ever be on the sidelines in the NFL.
Yeah, no, you can't carry that stuff over, that's for sure. Real deflating loss yesterday. But again, like you guys said, I was listening to you when you opened the show. It's not the end of the world. I mean, I think if most people told you the Raiders were going to be 2-1 after this games against the Saints and also the Pats, I think people probably would have taken that.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I agree with that. And, Jesse, that's the thing. I mean, there's always extremes, right, especially when you're on social media and you see fans go crazy over certain things. But judging based on our calls today, calls to Raider Nation Radio all day, and I'm sure you hear from fans too, actually, I think it's pretty leveled because people realize the team is headed in the right direction. There are still some things to fix and fix fast in some areas. But overall, you have to be happy with a young team that's learning as they go along, didn't have a training camp, didn't have OTAs and all of that.
Yeah, I really think you do. And like you noted, no training camp, no OTAs. The youth on this team, to see what they've done already, I mean, they are going to have to figure this out. All offseason, everybody talked about how it was going to be slow moving forward for every team. And obviously, they look at the offense and a lot of guys were returning. But some of those big-name guys have been hurt. You look at the injuries along the offensive line. You lose Nick Kwiatkowski and all the responsibility that was really thrown on him. That's where now you got to say, okay, hey, look, for this patchwork group of guys that they've kind of had to throw out there, they've done really well. The big thing that worries me is the missed tackles overall. I think yesterday they had 12 missed tackles, according to Pro Football Focus. That bumps their total up to 35 in three games. That, to me, is kind of a bit alarming. But, again, no preseason, no OTAs, none of that stuff. So maybe just kind of figuring it out, getting back to playing, you know, real football and pads.
Well, yeah, and now, you know, injuries are really starting to pile up. Henry Ruggs misses that game on Sunday, and I think it really showed that his speed, his threat of his speed wasn't out there. And then Bryan Edwards, who looks really good, he goes out in the game. It doesn't sound real promising that he's going to be okay and not miss any time. What are your thoughts just based on the injuries that the Raiders have been piling up?
Yeah, I mean, specifically on offense. You know, on the offensive line, they're going with a guy that's a guard that's playing right tackle that prior to the game against Carolina had never even played right tackle, at least in the pros. And then you got a rookie at left guard. You know, that's to be able to do what they've done so far, I think, is pretty impressive. And then you know, having no Ruggs, no Bryan Edwards, depending on kind of what happens for them moving forward. But the big thing that really stood out to me without Ruggs was the fact that think of how much they used him in that game against the Panthers in terms of motions, in terms of just getting the defense out of position, whether it was a decoy or not. Just the threat of his speed made all the difference in the world. And they didn't have that yesterday against the team that was able to take Darren Waller out of the equation. And they didn't have anybody that really scared him because Josh wasn't really cooking either. So that's one of the things that they really missed. And maybe you see if Ruggs can't go, maybe a guy like Zay Jones or Rico Gafford gets in there with that real threat of the speed down the field or something.
Again, we're talking to Jesse Merrick, News 3 in Las Vegas. Here covers the Raiders. And, Jesse, you talked about the missed tackles. Absolutely. That's on the player. That you can't you coach a player how to tackle. If they miss a tackle, it's on them. But on that defense, you and I have been on dozens and dozens of Zoom calls throughout the summer and into the fall with coaches and players all hyping up the arrival of Malik Collins and of Coach Rod Marinelli. But that Raiders defensive line has really, really struggled. And they're still struggling. They started off the game so well. I commented there was so much energy there, but then your offense sputters and they're on the field too long. What are your concerns with that defensive line and what we've seen so far through 3 weeks?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, again, all the talk about Malik Collins and Gruden said multiple times that he was going to be, you know, the straw that stirs the drink for this defense. And widely, he has gone unnoticed. I mean, the only things that really have popped to me that come to mind is you've seen Max Crosby obviously get a couple sacks in there and the motor that he plays with. And then Cleve Farrell, a bit better, at least getting in the mix a little bit more, maybe with some pressures or tackles and things like that. And yesterday, Mo Hurst, really hustling around there. But there's nothing to me from Malik Collins that stood out thus far, and that's pretty alarming. And Gruden even said today that he had a conversation with him that they need more out of him. So that's definitely going to be something I'm going to be watching as they go against the field. Because if you've got a big guy up front like that can eat up space and really disrupt, then that's going to be a game changer, not only in keeping those running backs away from John Abram and your other safeties one-on-one, but also just getting more pressure on the quarterback and making them uncomfortable. Because right now, life is too easy for these opposing offenses, and we saw kind of what the Pats were able to do and have their way with them on the ground yesterday.
How concerned are you with the back end of the Raiders defense as far as Jonathan Abram, the safety, and then also you have Eric Harris? How confident are you that those two combined can get it done at that back end?
I'll be honest, I wasn't very confident at the beginning of the year. Right now, I think the jury's still out. I know Eric Harris gets a lot of hate. I'm kind of lukewarm on him. I think he's maybe one of those guys that Gruden really likes. And you know, in a perfect world, you'll never hear anything about him over the course of the game because he'll be doing his job just well enough. With Abram, the big thing is he's got to learn how to play aggressive but also smart. I mean, we saw him take himself out of so many plays, and you know teams are going to notice that and they're going to attack him, and that's something he just can't have. But Gruden even again mentioned today they got to get him in more situations where he's in the post there making that tackle in space rather than just going for the big hit. You don't want to just be the hit stick guy over and over again. So, to be honest, I think the jury's still out on them again. You know, they're young. You pair Abram with Mullen and Damon Arnett, who I think could play very well. But Eric Harris is obviously that question mark. But to be honest, of the other guys on the team, who else would you rather see out there?
Yeah, great point. I think another body might be in order if it continues. So we'll see. Jesse Merrick, News 3, thanks for being with us, Jesse. We'll talk to you real soon.
Of course, guys. Appreciate the time.
All right. There you go. I think, you know, it's amazing. We're all kind of on the same page. I think those of us that are level-headed, Q, see what needs to be done, aren't panicked, and see that this football team can get to where it needs to go.
Yeah, it really can. Again, it's 3 weeks worth of, you know, of actual film and what we've been able to see from the team. They've done a lot of really good things, and they've also done some bad. And you see where their Achilles heel is. We talked about it. you know, this defense struggling should not be a surprise. Darren Waller being taken out of the game by the Patriots, surprise? No. No. Not at all. You know, that's what Bill Belichick's going to do, and that means that someone else has to step up. And I think Bryan Edwards, to be 100% honest, was doing really well. I thought that he had an opportunity to have a big game, and then he got injured. And that's kind of been the story of Bryan Edwards going back to college. Availability. You know, and I'm not saying that he's going to be that way in the league. Sometimes when you're banged up in, you know, high school and you go to college and you're banged up, you get to the NFL and you're probably going to be banged up.
Consistency, right? All right.
So we
have 1 hour of the show in the books here. When we come back, we're going to get to a couple callers. Then we're going to have the Q-tip a little early since we have 13 minutes with Hunter Renfrow a little later. Hunter will be with us live at 3:20 p.m. Pacific time if you're listening or you're streaming across the nation. He'll be with us. We'll talk to him about the game as well. You're listening to the Silver and Black today here only on your station, Raider Nation Radio.